Across Northwest, people are running into the wall Jess is about to describe. Jess is fictional. The wall is not. This is their story. In Southport, healthcare training places sit empty while qualified candidates queue for programs they cannot access, leaving hospital wards understaffed and communities underserved. The infrastructure exists, the lecturers are qualified, the simulation labs are built, but Treasury spending limits have created an artificial scarcity that blocks the very workforce the NHS desperately needs.
I grew up in Birkdale, watching my mum come home from weekend shifts at the local care home, still in her healthcare assistant uniform, talking about the patients she'd helped that day. She'd describe how she'd sat with Mrs. Patterson during her final hours, or helped Mr. Davies take his first steps after his stroke. I knew from age 12 that I wanted to be a nurse, not because of some grand calling, but because I'd seen how much difference one person could make when they had the right training and the time to care properly. After my A-levels at Southport College, I spent 2 years stacking shelves at Tesco, saving every penny for university while my parents started needing more support themselves. Dad's plumbing business was struggling with his arthritis, and Mum was working longer hours to make up the shortfall. I wanted to train locally so I could help them while building the career I'd always planned. In 2021, I applied to Edgehill University's nursing program. I'd done my research, met all the entry requirements, written a personal statement that I'd redrafted 15 times. The rejection letter was polite but firm. Unfortunately, the cohort is full. I tried again in 2022, certain that my additional year of experience as a care assistant would strengthen my application. Same response. Same polite language about limited places. I was standing in the corridor at Edge Hill after collecting my second rejection when one of the lecturers stopped me. She'd seen my application both years. "You know," she said quietly, "we'd take you tomorrow if we could. Health Education England has capped our funded training places. We can't take on students we can't afford to train." She looked genuinely frustrated. "There's just no funding for expansion, even though we need more nurses desperately." That made sense to me then. Budgets are tight everywhere. I accepted it as a fact of life and went back to work as a care assistant at Southport Hospital, telling myself I'd try again next year. The wards were chronically understaffed. We'd have 3 assistants covering what should have been a 5-person shift. Patients waited longer for basic care. Qualified nurses were burning out trying to cover impossible workloads. Everyone said the same thing. "We need more staff, but there's no money to train them." I contacted NHS England directly in early 2023, asking about alternative pathways into nursing. They referred me to Health Education England Northwest, who explained that their budget had been constrained by Treasury spending limits. The advisor was sympathetic but clear. "We understand the demand is high, but we have to work within the resources we're allocated. There is no funding for additional training places at present." I accepted this too. It sounded reasonable. Governments have budgets, departments have limits, everyone has to live within their means. Then I discovered something that didn't fit the story I'd been told. I was visiting Edge Hill to collect some paperwork when I walked past the nursing building. Half the car park was empty. Through the windows, I could see simulation labs that weren't being used. I asked the receptionist about it casually, mentioned I was hoping to apply again next year. "Oh, we've got 40 empty places on this year's cohort," she said. "International students were supposed to fill them, but they didn't materialize. Brexit complications, visa issues, that sort of thing. Shame, really, because the facilities are just sitting there." 40 empty places. Training facilities designed to run at capacity operating at half speed. Qualified lecturers with reduced hours because there weren't enough students to teach. I started asking around. The care assistant network in Southport is tight-knit. We all know each other, cover each other's shifts, share information about opportunities. I found dozens of people like me. Qualified candidates who'd been rejected or waitlisted for nursing programs. People who lived locally, who wanted to work in our hospitals, who'd been told there was no space for them. But there was space. 40 empty spaces, in fact. The people existed. The building existed. The need existed. The lecturers existed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? That's when I started to understand something I hadn't seen before. The government that issues the pound chose not to spend the pounds that would connect qualified candidates to training places. Health education. England's budget wasn't a law of physics. It was a political decision made by the Treasury, a department of the government that prints the currency it claimed it couldn't afford to spend. The constraint wasn't the availability of pounds. The constraint was a choice wrapped in the language of financial impossibility. Someone in Westminster had decided that training the nurses Southport needed was not worth the cost, even though the infrastructure to train them was sitting idle, and the people who wanted the training were standing ready. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching, still working on the wards where we're understaffed every single day. But I understand now that what happened to me is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard is never bare when you hold the key to the mint.
What Jess experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique works by citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident truth, as though repeating it makes it real. Think of the tobacco industry's scientists who claimed smoking was harmless, or pharmaceutical companies' research that downplayed addiction risks. The technique relies on authority without scrutiny. In Jess's story, every official she spoke to referenced Treasury spending limits and budget constraints, as though these were natural laws rather than political choices. When challenged about training places sitting empty, they pointed to economists who insisted government spending must be rationed like household income. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. In Southport, those resources were sitting idle. 40 empty training places. Qualified lecturers on reduced hours. Simulation labs running at quarter capacity. Local candidates ready to train. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Southport ranks 260 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in Deprivation Decile 5. The constituency has 3,727 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Local organisations received £217.1 million in total grants, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics produced by Blocked Britain.